Welcome into the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The Lombardi Line brought to you by BetMGM. Danny Burke here live at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa in Las Vegas. And then on the East Coast, Mr. Lombardi, Michael Lombardi at MLombardi NFL is where you could follow him on Twitter. The show at VSiN Live, myself at Danny Burke 5. A solid show planned for today. Josh Applebaum will be joining us next segment with a market report. We'll get an update on the NBA specific games where he's noted out the biggest line movements and where you can see some good opportunities to take advantage of those before we head into today's NBA slate. And then we'll continue on with the NBA. Brad Botkin of CBS Sports, he's a writer over there, covers the NBA. We'll go deeper into the slate with him to end the show today. We'll talk some NFL, some baseball also with Josh Applebaum. We'll see where some of the biggest line movements have been there as well. But Michael, happy Thursday to you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Danny. You know, just watching a bunch of these NBA games, I think that it's fairly obvious that you can make some money in betting the NBA right now. I'm not sure the books really have a feel for when teams are going to play, when teams aren't going to play, how much motivations are in games. I mean, yesterday there was a lot of games. The Sixers were the one team that didn't cover. They had a chance. It was a horrendous call at the end of the game, a foul on Embiid, or else they would have covered in that game. So it's an interesting time in the NBA.
Absolutely. And we'll get into that Sixers game in just a sec, because of course we want to get your thoughts not only on the game and the team overall, but specifically more about Ben Simmons and his injury, why he had to leave the game early. But before we get to that, Michael, let's start with quote unquote how we do with every show on Lombardi Line. And your quote today is from Sam Ewing, and it's not the hours you put in your work that counts, it's the work that you put in the hours. So expand on that a little bit for today, Michael.
Well, I think it's reflective of where I think you can make some money in the NBA. I try to tie the quote into the betting aspect of this show, and I think that the NBA has given us an opportunity to really understand what's going on. I mean, the other night when Phoenix, Devin Booker hits that incredible shot at the end of the game, I mean, it's just there's so much there that you can look for and kind of play along with, and you know what teams are in it, what teams aren't. And I think if you do just enough, if you pay attention and focus and concentrate, you can make some coin.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on to that Sixers game. Not the best news for your boys there in Philadelphia, but Ben Simmons suffered a left knee injury during yesterday's game. They did get the win, like you said, not able to get that cover, though. But he ended with 8 points, 2 of 10 from the field, 4 of 8 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 turnovers. Played about 23 minutes. We don't know the severity of the knee injury. It's not currently known, but apparently he's not dealing with any swelling or pain. So it's probably just very precautionary at this point, Michael.
Yeah, you probably won't see Simmons until the playoffs, knowing how the 76ers treat injuries there. I mean, you know, he could have a hangnail and be out for 2 months. So who knows? You know, I mean, I would not count on Simmons to play within the next 5 games easy. There's no chance. The way they rest players, part of their problem when you watch them is they lack so much mental toughness. They have no killer instinct. Yesterday, I thought, you know, Al Horford came in and set their defense and got a little bit better. Of course, they were playing Washington, and Washington's missing and so many good players, John Wall, Bradley Beal. But it was the first time they actually played some form of defense, and they took advantage of the big man, Mr. Embiid, down low, and they found a way to win the game. The other night when they beat, when Shake Milton hits the shot at the end of the game, I mean, they didn't even, you know, San Antonio had them beat and just let it slip away. So to me, the way the Sixers are playing right now, lack of defense intensity, lack of spacing at times on the court, I don't see how they could beat Boston in a series.
So, Michael, we didn't have a chance to talk about that game from Monday night. Of course, we were on the show Monday, but then we didn't get to talk after. So what was going through your mind those last few minutes? Were you just about to be absolutely irate, or how was the Lombardi household about to look?
I was irate way before that. I mean, I mean, look, at the fourth quarter, they've given up 46 and 40 points in those 2 games. You know, teams are shooting 76% against you. There's no effort to close out. I mean, people run pick and roll, and nobody closes out on the guy. So defense is about their intensity, and I think they have to pick up their game. I mean, to me, the way they've played in Orlando with all the hoopla going around their team and the supposed length that they have and their ability to match up and cross the board defensively, it hasn't manifested itself so far down in Orlando, and they're really, frankly, disappointing. I'll give you a tip. I mean, we'll talk about tomorrow. They won't beat Orlando tomorrow night. Orlando's their nemesis. Orlando knows how to play them, and they're tougher than they are.
Okay, early look ahead from Michael Lombardi. Speaking of look aheads, let's go ahead and check out some of these NFL headlines, Michael. And the look ahead for today is the deadline to opt out of the NFL season. Some more notable opt-outs as of recent. Travis Benjamin, receiver for the 49ers. Albert Wilson, receiver for the Dolphins. Another Dolphins player, Alan Hearns, a little bit more notable player. Andrew Billings, defensive lineman for the Browns. And then Giants cornerback Sam Beal. Like we said, 4 p.m. Eastern time is the deadline. What do you envision to happen when the clock hits 4?
Well, I mean, we probably will see a little bit more activity in this area, but I think the players have now been integrated into the system. They kind of see what the protocols are within the building. And I think that, you know, if you want to opt out, that's your own right, and you have every right to do it. I do believe there needed to be a deadline so that teams can find the available players that are out there in free agency, and there can be a market for them. I mean, I think we'll get Tre'Davious White from Buffalo is interesting. He's bouncing back and forth whether he wants to play or not. That's never a good sign. I think anytime a player's not sure, he probably shouldn't play. Football's a game you need to be committed 110%. Of course, our man Odell Beckham, I mean, he announced that it wasn't safe to play, but he's going to play anyway. Like, does that make any sense at all to you? I mean, it's like, seriously. Like, I can't quite put my finger on that one.
It is a tricky situation. It's going to be with a lot of these players, Michael. And one of them who was asked about opting out was Philip Rivers, as we know now in Indianapolis. He was asked if he thought about it, and pretty much he came out and said no, because if he did that, that would mean that he would pretty much be retiring as of this point. Do you see that being kind of a recurring thing, with some of these older players? Because if they don't play this season, that could mean the end of the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly. I mean, if Marcus Cannon doesn't play this year, where does that leave him as he moves forward with the Patriots? The same thing with Patrick Chung. You know, you're not getting any younger. When guys over 30 don't play, then it becomes a problem. You know that Rivers was going to play. You knew that. But I think the concern, if you're an Indianapolis fan, is they've lost a couple guys. They lost Skikala Moore, the outside linebacker who was going to be a starter. Are they going to be good enough? You know, Anthony Walker, their 2017 fifth round pick's got to play. I mean, they're going to have to get some production out of that linebacker group, and they're going to have to see if they can do it at corner. I mean, their starting corners right now, Danny, are TJ Carey and Xavier Rhodes. And we know Xavier Rhodes did not play well. Now they have Yasin, who they drafted in the second round out of Temple last year, to be their third corner. But I think this is the concern if you're Indianapolis. A, do they have enough pass rush? And B, can they cover if they don't have enough pass rush?
All right, let's continue on with the NFL here, Michael. Some reports coming out of Seattle. ESPN's Brady Henderson reporting that the Seahawks are monitoring free agents Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon. We've kind of hit on this a little bit with Antonio Brown a tad bit, but now Josh Gordon, a new name coming into the mix. Anything here that you think is actually kind of going to come to fruition with these players and potentially the Seahawks?
I mean, Josh Gordon has this incredible name, right? You know, and everybody goes back to 2013 when he stiff-armed Aqib Talib and he ran it into the end zone when Cleveland played New England up in Foxborough. But he hasn't been the same player since, and I think Seattle knows this. I mean, if Seattle thought he could really help their football team, they would sign him. I mean, he needs a job. He's financially in a lot of trouble. But I think Seattle would really knows that he probably wouldn't make their football team if they did, in fact, sign him. And then they would guarantee him for the season. And so I think they're a little bit hesitant on that. The other area, I think, is Antonio Brown shifts the balance of power. I mean, you could see the Niners now. The Niners are starting to try to load up. You know, they signed Deion Jordan, the outside linebacker. They had Ziggy Ansah in. They had him in to take a look. See, they're trying to replenish that defensive front, which is the key to their football team. Whether Jordan can provide much pass rush remains to be seen. Ansah, if he's healthy, which is a big if, that's always the big if in the case, he would make a huge difference. If they signed Ansah and Seattle signed Antonio Brown, those would be two interesting signings for both teams.
So when it comes down to it, do you believe that the Seahawks need to sign one of these guys? And if you had to pick between the two, I assume you're kind of leaning with Brown by the way you said it, but is that the way you would go?
Well, I think they had Ansah, right, last year, and he couldn't stay healthy, and he couldn't quite play to the level they needed him to play. I think Ansah has been hurt so darn much that it's hard for him to play to the level that he did at Detroit in flashes, never in consistency. So, and you know, with Jim Schwartz, a defensive coordinator in Philadelphia, he knows Ansah as well as anybody. He drafted him, so they haven't made any move to try to sign him. You know, for me, if I were Seattle, I would sign Everson Griffin today. That's the first thing I would do. And then I would sign Antonio Brown. I think those two moves would make Seattle a Super Bowl, a real Super Bowl contender coming out of the NFC.
Speaking of the Seahawks, Michael, did you get a chance to catch Russell Wilson's video and his alter ego the other day?
No, I didn't.
Going to have to go back and look at that because it's been causing quite the whirl on Twitter and everything. Basically, just keeps calling himself Unlimited. You can't really explain it. You just have to watch it. It's pretty funny. So after the show, you're going to have to do me a favor and check that out.
I think Unlimited is a great name. I think he should tell Brian Schottenheimer to be unlimited with him and let him throw the ball in the first quarter, right? Don't you think that would be a good idea?
Absolutely. I'm on board with that. But no, it's really a funny video, so you're going to have to check it out. But let's move on here, Michael. Sticking in the NFL, and we'll go to the Browns, where Austin Hooper apparently has spent 2 to 3 weeks in Austin, Texas at Baker Mayfield's house. Really just been working out together there. We already talked about Njoku saying that he's going to stick it out this season and play with the Browns. We talked about that last week. Big expectations for Austin Hooper this year, Michael. When you hear stuff like this coming out of the woodworking, saying that they're meshing well together, taking all this time to really practice together, how does that make you feel as a part of the team, whether it's a fan, a coach, whatever it is? Is that something you love to see from your players, and how do you think that's going to bode over the course of the season?
Well, I mean, I think it's great that they do it, but I mean, it has no impact on the season whatsoever. I mean, when we're in November, we never talk about the offseason throwing the football in Austin, Texas. I mean, it's just something that the media tends to spread. It's the noise. It's really not the signal. You know, the function of the Browns, where you're going to really need to evaluate the Browns, is how they've changed their offense. And I think with Hooper and Ndika, you know, they need to be in 12 personnel quite a bit. So if they're in that 12 personnel, that means Baker Mayfield's under center, and they're utilizing Nick Chubb. They're utilizing, you know, Kareem Hunt in their run game, and they're taking some of the pressure off this offensive line. I mean, this offensive line is going to start Jedrick Willis at left tackle, rookie. They're going to start Jake Conklin over at right tackle, who they paid a lot of money for this offseason. And can Conklin pass protect? He's more of a run, play action pass, right tackle, which is what he did in Tennessee. The questions for Cleveland, and I think they could really be emerge as an offense if Stefanski runs that Gary Kubiak, Kyle Shanahan style hard play action and utilize the skill players and take some of the pressure off the offensive line. I think they can be really successful.
All right, a couple bigger stories that I want to get to before we run out of time here, Michael, and I want to start with the Raiders in our backyard here in Las Vegas and what Coach John Gruden did. Went on a Zoom meeting, or Zoom call rather, with his team, pretty much pretending that he had COVID to see how his players and the rest of the team would react. Kind of in poor taste, really, at this point, but is that something that shocks you that Gruden would do with his team?
No, I mean, I don't even know what was he trying to prove, Danny? I mean, did he want cards and flowers from the players because he had to, you know, I wasn't sure what he was trying to do. You know, I spent some time on the Raiders this morning, and really kind of looked over their team and tried to really understand what they're trying to get done on defense. And I quite can't get my hand on it. You know, Arnett, the corner that they drafted in the first round, can't run. You know, Travion Mullen and Prince Akamura, they're going to have to count on those to cover. And I ask, you know, Matt Crosby had a nice year last year, but if Matt Crosby is your number one pass rusher, are you going to be able to really rush the passer? I don't know how good this team is on defense. And then I love my man Derek Carr. He feels disrespected. Derek, you've won 11 games in 2 years. How you want to get any respect? Seriously. Like, seriously, you've won 11 games in the last 2 years. How about playing good before complaining? How about that? Wouldn't be a pretty good idea?
It seems like the right idea. And he will certainly, well, don't know if we'll have the opportunity now with a little bit of quarterback competition, but it will be very interesting to see how that plays out here in Las Vegas. Michael, now this story kind of going on the same page with COVID. Matthew Stafford was actually put on the COVID-19 list. Now he's the victim of a false positive there. I mean, we've seen this potentially happening throughout the NFL in a lot of cases, but looking at it from a betting perspective, this could potentially have implications on where their season or where their futures odds were impacted, whether it was season win totals, Super Bowl odds, division odds, whatever it was. I know it was taken off the board in a lot of cases, but this could have serious implications if this is going to be a running theme potentially.
Well, yeah, I think that's what happened in Australian rules football too, Danny. There was a couple guys that had a positive test. Then they tested them again the next day and it was false positive. So there has to be a really good, do a good job on this testing and understand it. And just because you have a positive test, like Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, he's asymptomatic.
Right.
I mean, I don't think but he tested positive. So you're going to have to work your way through all that. And I think that does present a problem. And this is one of those where if a player feels like he feels fine, but he tests positive, that can shift the betting odds. There's no doubt about that. And that's why, you know, we're going to know on VSiN, we're going to know, everybody's going to know. And there's only a few players that shift the odds. Obviously, quarterback Matthew Stafford, you'd bet the under if he didn't play this year for the Lions. But the reality of it is only a few players can shift the betting line, and you better know who they are.
All right, Danny Burke, Michael Lombardi here on the Lombardi Line. Remember, the Lombardi Line brought to you by BetMGM. And there's never been an August like this in sports before. And Nevada fans are getting in on the fun at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring you the most iconic casino hotels in Las Vegas. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with live betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Basketball, baseball, and hockey all at once, all month long. If you want to take this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to the next level, it's time to get your game on at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. All right, Market Report with Josh Applebaum coming up next here on VSiN. The Lombardi Line brought to you by BetMGM. Danny Burke alongside Michael Lombardi. You can follow him on Twitter at MLombardiNFL on Twitter, myself at Danny Burke 5, and the show at VSiN Live. You can follow our next guest on Twitter at Josh_insights, VSiN's betting reporter, Josh Applebaum. Josh, as always, appreciate you joining the show. A lot of action today. How are you doing?
Danny, I'm doing great. Yeah, we have so many games to sweat here, and I think we should redub August Madness, not just March Madness. But Michael and Danny, great to be with you. And yeah, tons of games to get to today, guys. So a couple that have caught my eye, wanted to share with you. The first one was Indiana and Phoenix. So this one's interesting. Both teams are 3-0 against the spread and straight up in the bubble. But Indiana does have a much better record, 42-26. The Suns are 29-39. And also, Indiana with TJ Warren, he's really just got a ton of publicity, playing fantastic. He's got 119 points in three games. However, this is a pretty sharp spot here, pretty good reverse line move toward the Phoenix Suns. If you're interested in betting the Suns, this game opened at the Indiana Pacers -3.5. You really saw sharps, you know, get down pretty hard on the Suns at 3.5 and at 3. It's now down to 2. I think the last sharp move was the 2.5 with the Suns, but it's a pretty good buy low opportunity with Phoenix with a really notable line move in their favor. And then also the Clippers and the Mavericks. Michael Lombardi, you like this one. If you like the Mavs, this is your number one contrarian play of the day. You have massive betting on the Clippers. The Clippers are getting just, 8 out of 10 bets or more. So heavy, heavy lopsided betting on LA. Yet this line's pretty much stayed the same at 4.5. It's even dropped to 4 a little bit late. You saw a little bit of smart money on the under as well, open 230-ish, down to 229. You think of both these teams scoring a ton, but maybe some sharp movement there to the under. And then last game of the night, keep an eye on this one, the Lakers and the Rockets. pretty much even ticket count, a little bit toward the Rockets, but a notable move towards the Rockets. You know, the Lakers open -1.5. It looks like you've had some smart money. Grab the Rockets +1.5, really get the hook there with the 1.5. It's now down to 1. So now you're looking at maybe even a money line opportunity with the Rockets instead of, you know, you're missing the hook with the 1.5. But also that one, remember, the Lakers are on the second leg of a back-to-back. Rockets are rested. Bit of an advantage there toward Houston.
You know, Josh, I got to think that with just looking at the slate tonight, the Rockets are a heck of a play, and so are the Mavericks. I mean, the Clippers, what are they playing for? You know, the Mavericks are trying to get their stuff going, and 97% of the money that has come in has been on the Clippers. Now, I know the Mavericks haven't played much defense, and Luka Doncic can score all the points he wants. He gives them up on the other side of the floor. But to me, they seem like a really good play, and it's shocking that, you know, people aren't taking into account that perhaps the Clippers really don't have much to play for.
I agree with you, Michael. Yeah, I think motivation is another factor. You know, you look at X's and O's, look at how a line opened, how it moved, where's the public, where's the smart money. But motivation is a factor. I think you got to, you know, factor into your handicapping here, whether you're, you know, pretty much in a seed that you can't lose versus a team that's really fighting for a better seeding or fighting for their playoff lives. Also, I think this is kind of a public situation where, you know, Clippers lost to Phoenix their last game. Public says Clippers are a great team. They have to bounce back and win and cover this time. However, Dallas, you know, they didn't cover against Sacramento, but you did see them win their last game. So I think Dallas is definitely undervalued in this spot. So grabbing the 4.5 with the Mavericks is really your number one contrarian play. And you know who the books are rooting for here. They're rooting for the Mavs.
All right, Josh, how about we check out some MLB really quick before we let you go? What kind of sharp action or biggest movements have you seen on the diamond for today?
Yeah, I think, Danny, you know, with NBA and NHL really taking over, MLB's kind of, you know, kind of on the back burner, but not with sharps. They're really looking at a couple moves today that are really, really notable. Number one, Toronto Blue Jays. They're starting a young stud, Nate Pearson. He's one of the top prospects in baseball. He's going up at Atlanta against Tiki Toussaint. And you've seen a big move here toward Toronto Blue Jays. Blue Jays are pretty sharp. Atlanta opened around -135-ish. They're down to -115. They put Albies and Matt Adams on the DL. This is a sharp spot to grab. Toronto, they've moved from about +125 to around +105. So keep an eye out for the Jays here. Then a couple more looking at Houston and Arizona. You saw Arizona get a big win yesterday, scored 1 million runs in the fourth inning. Public's back on that Houston train. They're going to back Houston forever. But you've seen this line really, really fall toward the D-backs. This opened Houston around -135. It's all the way down to -110. The D-backs are now even money pretty much. So really sharp move to the D-backs. Then last game of the night, keep an eye on Milwaukee Brewers, the beer makers. Big move in their favor as well. They're at Chicago White Sox. White Sox open around -130. They're all the way down to around -117, -115. So pretty big sharp move there toward Milwaukee.
All right. VSiN's betting reporter Josh Applebaum at Josh_insights is where you can follow him on Twitter. Josh, as always, appreciate the time.
Danny, Michael, thanks so much. Good luck today.
All right, you bet. Great stuff from Josh. As always, when we return, we're unveiling a new segment here on the Lombardi Line. Danny Burke, Michael Lombardi. We're going to talk a little bit of football. Ingrain that with the segment. You're not going to want to miss it. Coming back here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Make sure you're ready for the action. Sign up for First Bet, a new betting and handicapping product from ExpressBet. Use the promo code VEGAS500 to get a $10 free bet as soon as you sign up. Plus, receive up to $500 in bonus wagering for your first 30 days. Visit first.com/bet for more information. 1st.com/BET. Again, that's first.com/bet, promo code VEGAS500. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Danny Burke here at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Michael Lombardi on the East Coast at MLombardi NFLs, where you can follow him on Twitter, the show at VSiN Live, and myself at Danny Burke 5. Like we said before we hit the break, we're unveiling a brand new segment here on the show. It's called Doubt or No Doubt. I'm going to throw out some scenarios for Michael here, and basically he's going to decide, doubt or no doubt, whether it's legit or not. So we'll start in the NFL and we'll go with Washington here, where head coach Ron Rivera said he was pleasantly surprised by Alex Smith's recovery from his catastrophic leg injury that required 17 surgeries. Says he is entering the conversation for that starting job. So, Michael, doubt or no doubt, Alex Smith has a legitimate shot at being Washington's starting quarterback.
Oh, I doubt it completely. Now, look, Alex Smith has $16 million of guaranteed money coming to him this year. The Redskins would have probably tried to release him had it not been for the $16 million guarantee. They can't get away from the money. I think a lot of the positive conversation is really about, can they trade him? You know, because they need him. They've got Kyle Allen. If they could get an asset for him and he proves he's healthy, this is why the preseason is really kind of hard on Washington, because if Alex Smith went out there in the preseason and played well, I'm sure there'd be teams that would want to talk to him. Maybe not so much the Redskins would have to eat some of the salary, but you could just see in that video right there. Like, I mean, guys put these videos up like they're really, like, you could see him not really being able to push off. There's not like a lot of power in his leg. He may get out there, but I would have a hard time. Watch this here. When he just like he lifts the leg up, there's no drive off the lower body. You know, I don't see that happening. I think it's Haskins' job. That's why they drafted him.
Okay, let's talk about another quarterback here. Former Patriots, well, it's Cam Newton, but former Patriots and Panthers defensive tackle Kyle Love says that the team coddled Cam Newton and that he won't gel with Bill Belichick's criticism. He was quoted saying, "This is just my opinion, but I don't feel like Cam can take the pressure of coaches talking down about his play," he told the Boston Herald. So doubt or no doubt, Cam Newton will have a hard time getting along with Bill Belichick.
Oh, I doubt that. I really do. I think he will. I think, look, every situation is different. Tom Brady's realizing that Tampa Bay isn't the same situation as New England. New England's unique, and the players all understand, as Kyle Love was explaining, what it goes on inside those walls. And you are part of being coached. That's part of being coached. Everybody's trying to make you better. You know, everybody's asking. Everybody's coached the same. There isn't a star status within the coaching. There's a truth-telling that goes on, and I think Cam can handle it, because I think Cam's at a crossroads in his career that he wants to prove people wrong. And that's a great, great motivator.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this is a guy we've talked about his Instagram videos about motivation. And nowadays, like we just saw with Alex Smith, these guys put out these videos to really prove and help themselves show that they're active and just looking a lot more in shape, et cetera, whatever it may be. But when you hear a former player or former teammate, rather, make a comment about that, like a quarterback, how does that really go in the mindset of a locker room, I guess? I mean, is that something that you think Cam is just going to hold on for the rest of the season? Kind of like, you know, you translated to Michael Jordan, where someone makes a slight mistake and he holds that as a grudge continuously. Is that going to be the situation we see with Cam Newton?
No, I think, look, everybody gets coached. Everybody starts the day the same way. And the one thing that's different that I think what Kyle Love doesn't understand is all players get coached like that in New England. And he's right. You know, he was probably coddled in Carolina. And he's right. He's never going to have a system of offense around him that is as detailed and as prepared as what he'll find in New England. There is a work ethic up there unlike any other in the National Football League. So I think he'll adapt, because he's one of 80 players. He isn't the other guy like he was in Carolina. He's not the star. So I don't think it's an issue. I understand what Kyle Love's saying. Mm-hmm. Anytime you leave New England, it's never quite the same.
All right, let's go to the Jets, where head coach Adam Gase said Le'Veon Bell is extremely motivated and is in phenomenal shape. Doubt or no doubt, Bell can still be a top 10 running back in the league this season.
I don't have any doubt he can be. I think that, you know, if he's in shape and he's motivated and the way he can run and the way he is utilized in the passing game, he can still make an impact. You know, I think he's gotten the rust off. You know, the year off, everybody says it was no big deal. Yeah, it was a big deal. A lot of rust, plus the bad offensive line that the Jets had. I mean, they finally released Brian Winters, who was making a ton of money, you know, and you're wondering why Brian Winters was on the team. I mean, he wasn't playing to the level that he was being compensated for. So I think Joe Douglas is done the right thing trying to repair this offensive line, and those reparations within the offensive line will certainly help Le'Veon Bell.
All right, Michael, I'm going a little bit off the grid here, a story we didn't get to in the first segment, and I'm going to translate this with doubt or no doubt still and put it together. So Jimmy Garoppolo admitted his knee feels night and day better compared to how it did in 2019. Doubt or no doubt, Jimmy Garoppolo will have a much better season.
You know, I'm a huge Garoppolo fan, so, you know, I'm biased when it comes to Jimmy. We drafted him when I was there in New England. I have no doubt he'll play well. I think the offense is set up for him to play well, and I do think it takes a year off an ACL for players to come back and play to their highest level. So I do think he will play better, and I think he'll learn from his mistakes. I'll tell you, he's resilient now. Nothing's going to bother him. He's kind of got a carefree attitude. You know, if you go back and watch the Super Bowl, you know, had he thrown the ball quicker before Chris Jones got in his face, they probably would have gotten the first down. If he could speed it up just a tad, I think it's there. But Garoppolo played pretty well there at times for him. Now, we've gotten the recent bias is because we saw the playoff games where they didn't really utilize him much. And I think that was only situational. When he has to play, I think he'll play well.
All right, now let's go back to the Patriots. ESPN Jeremy Fowler reports that the Patriots do have some interest in Delanie Walker, that tight end position, obviously a big one that New England has to fill. Is that going to be a viable option in your mind for New England? Is this going to come to fruition?
Well, I think, you know, if he's healthy, I think that's the biggest concern. Is he 100% healthy and can he last the season? The problem you have as an executive in the NFL this time in August is you're asking yourself the question, Danny, you know, is the guy going to be able to make a difference in January? Can he help us win games in December? You know, he'll look good now, but as an older player, they tend to fade away. So I think a lot of that has to do with the physical. They have two young tight ends on the roster that they drafted. One will be an H-back and one will be the tight end. They could use a veteran presence in the room.
All right. First edition of Doubt No Doubt, Michael. How do you think it went? We're going to keep it going.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. We're good.
All right. There you go. Great stuff from Michael. As always, at M Lombardi NFL, where you can follow him on Twitter. The show at Visa Live. Myself at Danny Burke 5. Coming up next, we're switching gears. We're going to the hardwood, talking some NBA. A big slate for Thursday. We'll get Brad Botkin of CBS Sports NBA writer over there. His thoughts on the slate today. Some big games coming up underway. So we'll look at the spreads, totals, injury impacts potentially throughout all of the NBA. So coming up next on the Lombardi Line, all NBA talk with Brad Botkin of CBS Sports. Coming back here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM Sports wants you to start out with amazing odds during this August like no other. That's why they're giving new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on the Lakers-Rockets game. And if either team hits a three, you win $100. All you have to do is sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSiN100 to take advantage of this special offer. There's never been a summer like this before, and there's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSiN100 to win $100 in free bets when you bet just $1 on the Lakers-Rockets game. And if either team hits a three-pointer, you win. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Danny Burke here at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Michael Lombardi on the East Coast. It's time to talk some basketball, and for that, we bring in our friend Brad Botkin over at CBS Sports. At Brad Botkin, CBS is where you can follow him on Twitter. Brad, appreciate you joining the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we're excited to talk some basketball with you, and let's look at the slate today, and let's start with one of the bigger games of the day, that being the Heat and the Bucks going at it. We know that Jimmy Butler will miss his second consecutive game. Dragic is questionable at this point with a right ankle sprain, getting hurt in that area. We see the Bucks is a pretty significant favorite here at about 9. Do you think the Heat have any chance in this spot, or do you think it's a good bounce back opportunity for the Bucks to really get on a roll here?
It is an opportunity for them to get going. They haven't played particularly well in the bubble. And we were just actually talking about this with on a work meeting. They're a pretty conservative defensive team, and they give up a lot of open shots, whereas, you know, kind of teams like the Raptors and the Rockets have really taken to an aggressive defense, and they're switching everything, and they're actually shutting off shots. And the odd thing about this bubble right now, I've been really surprised. I thought that the play would be rusty, but guys have been sharp. If you're leaving guys open, they're making shots. So through that lens, I think that right now the Bucks are vulnerable to a team making shots, and the Heat have a ton of shooters. So it hurts them that Jimmy Butler's kind of their one pick and roll, kind of one-on-one initiator to create shots for everyone. But their drive and kick system against a team like the Bucks that is going to collapse the way that a drive and kick system is intended to make you do, I think the Heat will get shots, and they've got shooters. Duncan Robinson's the best shooter in the bubble. Tyler Hero, you know, Dragic had a big game last time out. We'll see if he plays, but you know, to me, 9 points is a lot. So if we're talking spread here, I would probably lean toward Miami.
Brad, Michael Lombardi here. Me too. You know, I just don't know what will Milwaukee have to play for. You know, they've got the one seed. Do they going to really go hard after the Heat, or are they going to back off? I worry if I were a coach down there, I would worry about doing too much come playoff time to show my hand, especially if I can back off if I've got a seed.
Yeah, it's a good point. And incentive from a betting standpoint, incentive is something that you definitely have to watch. And I think even more so as we get down the stretch of these seeding games, there's going to be more and more teams that become mathematically or close to mathematically eliminated, more and more seeds that become locked up. So what is the incentive to go out and play? You're right. But I've talked to a couple of coaches who aren't in the bubble about how they would be approaching this. And it's a really, really fine line right now. You do not have a lot of time to get up to speed under normal circumstances where you've had a whole season to kind of get into your peak form. Maybe you would be worried about tipping your hand a little bit. But right now, I think coaches, at least from the people that I've talked to, are probably more concerned about making sure their team is at peak or as close to peak as they can be under these conditions come playoff time. And that's only a week away. We're going to be in the playoffs, you know, in what, 7 to 10 days, something like that. So I think these teams like the Bucks, that they do have it locked up, they need to get going.
All right, Brad, how about this?
Miami, Boston, they can beat them.
All right, Brad, how about this next matchup? It's a big one, and it didn't seem like it was going to be looking ahead to the schedule, but based on the fact that they're both 3-0, the Pacers and the Suns looking like a really hot team as of this point, a big win, a big shot from Devin Booker over the Clippers. As we look at the spread here, the Pacers are a slight favorite at about 2, minus 135 on the money line. Buyback for Phoenix plus 115. The total's at 229.5. Brogdon is questionable in this game because of some neck issues. How do you see this one playing out? Are the Suns going to keep it rolling? Are the Pacers going to keep it rolling? What do you envision happening?
Okay, so this is based on nothing but experience over the years of gambling and just my gut instinct here. And the bet of the day for me on this game is the under. I think the number has been inflated because of what TJ Warren is doing. And Devin Booker, this guy's, he's showing out on what feels like a playoff stage. And I just think at the end of the day, Indiana's a tough defense, and I don't think that Phoenix is going to keep up putting up those kind of numbers. I mean, I don't think that that's a game that's going to go over 229. From a line standpoint, I would tend to go with Indiana. I just, you know, again, I think that some of these things start to even out a little bit. Phoenix is not as good of a team as they're showing, and Indiana is a better team than people thought. So, you know, people tend to overreact and then the lines react accordingly. And right now everybody's high on the Suns and they're down. Everybody kind of got down on the Pacers as soon as DeMontis Sabonis went out and sort of gave up on them. And they're a good team. They're a really good team. They can shoot. They play tough defense. They share the ball. So I think that Indiana is probably the bet there, but the one that I like the most is the under.
Talk to us a little bit about Michael Porter. Had a huge game the other night. They're playing the Trailblazers. I mean, where do you see Denver in this race in the West? And do you think they can make a move on the Clippers at all?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I mean, Denver's a really good team. I mean, one, I was just talking to a couple of scouts last week about this, and we completely downplay this idea of continuity in the NBA because teams or players switch teams so often now. But the Nuggets have been together for a good chunk of time. They know how to play together. They're going to be in rhythm. Jamal Murray, Will Barton, these guys have been out. Gary Harris have been out. And so you think like, oh, it's going to be tough to get back into the fold. But I don't think so. I think they're going to hit the ground running, and they're super, super deep. That's really going to matter in this bubble when we talk about we don't know where guys are at completely conditioning-wise. I think Denver's a real threat. Jokic is – I mean, the other day Greg Popovich called him a reincarnation of Larry Bird. He can kind of do everything on the floor, make other players better. You know, not the greatest athlete, doesn't play above the rim, but just controls the game in so many ways. I mean, he's a top 8 or 9 player in the world that doesn't get talked about in the same realm as a Kawhi Leonard or a Paul George or those type of players, but he's pretty close to that level. So they've got the star player. They've got the pick and roll partner with Jamal Murray. And you mentioned it, Michael Porter. I mean, this guy, he can get a bucket from anywhere. This is a guy that missed his entire rookie season. People forgot about when he was coming out in 2018, he was supposed to be a top 3 talent, maybe a top number 1 overall pick type of talent. And he slips to 14 because he's got injury concerns. All of a sudden, you look at this Denver team and the steal they've gotten in the draft. They got Jokic in the second round. They get Michael Porter Jr. at 14. If he turns out to be what he's looking like, I think Denver is a real problem. I think on paper, people would look at it and say, oh, I'd rather face Denver than the Clippers because of Kawhi Leonard. But I'm not so sure that's true. Denver's tough, and the Clippers haven't looked great.
Brad,
yeah, Danny, I got to say this. What you just said, Brad, is so true. Denver's done a remarkable job of eliminating this whole conversation that unless you have a top 5 pick, you can't get a great player. I mean, just the evidence at Denver and what they've been able to accomplish. I mean, you know, they do a tremendous job. PJ Miles, the kid they get from South Carolina, you know, that he played, I mean, he bounced around. He was in the 76ers Summer League. He comes in off the bench. He gives them 9 points the other night, played well as a backup point guard. So I think they do a really good job of player development. And it disproves that theory of, hey, you've got to have the top 5 pick to win.
100%. Absolutely. There are always, of course, the Spurs are the team that are always kind of the poster team for getting value in the draft. And it's a really, really difficult thing to do. But yeah, I mean, there's examples all over the Denver roster. And they've just been smart over the years. I mean, you can trace it all the way back to the deal that they made for Carmelo Anthony. And you know, that they've really just been a smart franchise and done really a lot with this quote small market opportunity. They have done well in the draft. They have their high picks. They have hit on, they hit on Jamal Murray. They have done a really, really good job. I mean, another guy like Monty Morris, I'm not sure. I'd have to look if he was either undrafted or late second round, coming out of Iowa State. And this guy is a starting point guard on half the teams in the league. And for Denver, he's just a complete security blanket for Jamal Murray. So I really, really like Denver. And I think, look, they were better than the Blazers last year. The Blazers should not have won that second round series. So Denver, for all intents and purposes, they should have been a conference finals team last year.
All right, Brad Botkin at Brad Botkin CBS is where you can follow him on Twitter. Catch his work over at CBS Sports. Brad, great analysis as always. Look forward to talking again soon. Thanks for coming on the show.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You bet.
Thank you, Brad.
Great stuff from Brad, Michael. And, you know, Michael, after hearing some of these, especially with that Nuggets game, would you be willing to take the points against this Trailblazers team that's really just been offensively pretty stout so far in this return?
Yeah, I mean, I thought what Brad said about Popovich, about what he said about Jokic. I mean, he said he's the reincarnation of Larry Bird. That's pretty powerful. And the way Michael Porter, I think Denver's got their act. I might lean towards taking Denver here. I lean towards taking Houston, and I definitely lean towards taking Miami against Milwaukee tonight.
Any thoughts with the Sixers coming up here? Any thoughts with Ben Simmons, the rest of the team? What can we expect from Philly?
He's like Paulie in The Godfather. You won't see him no more. He'll be gone for a while.
All right, Michael, great stuff as always. A lot of fun talking with you this week and being on the show.
Thanks,
best
Danny.
Of luck with
appreciate
all your picks
you.
Tonight.
Thanks for all your help, Danny. You did a great job. Thank you, Danny.
Appreciate it, Michael. Had a lot of fun. Be sure to check Michael out on Twitter at MLombardiNFL, myself at DannyBurke5, the show at VSiN Live. Coming up next, The Edge with JBT, more basketball talk, great analysis all over the board, golf action, NHL baseball, all of that and more coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.